Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist. Let's all stand together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and
welcome each other this morning. Our announcement person is sick.
I'll do the announcements.
You'll do the announcements?
I'll do the announcements. You want to do the announcements. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome. Hey, you know what? I'll take this weather now through April. Amen?
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what. I don't care if it snows. Do you? All right, because we're going to be moving. You know that? We're moving. And not the church. I'm moving. Sue and I are moving. And we need all the good weather we can get. So pray for us, okay, during our move. Still more ups, you know, disruption of my life. So, but anyway, welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. We have a couple of announcements. We have a cookie exchange, and I don't have the particulars, but look in your bulletin. You'll see when the date is, when you have to have your cookies. What you do is you make a few batches of cookies, and you bring them in, and you share a dozen or two with everybody else, and they give you a dozen or two back, and then you have all kind of variety. So make sure you do that. Also, we're having a carol sing. That'll be on the 17th, right? Or 12th? Which 13th. Okay, I was just about right, right? So the 13th, we're going to have a carol sing. So meet us here, and the details are in the bulletin. So make sure you get a bulletin. Just had some good news today. Joe Horvath is celebrating his 12th anniversary of Cancer Free. Amen. All right. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious God, we just come to you and we thank you, Lord, for just who you are, Father. And we just ask that everything that we do this morning in our worship, it pleases you, Father, that it honors you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just love you so much. We just ask that are able to absorb your word, Father, this morning, and to glorify you and to transform into more like your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we love you, and we just ask that everything that's said and done this morning please you and honor your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together and continue our worship. We're going to do a song called Born That We May Have Life. We did it last year with the choir and the band, and it was fun. It was a great Christmas song. It's off Chris Tomlin's Christmas album. If you don't have it, it's awesome. But I hope you enjoy this one.
Palace bed for royalty, but a star in the heavens, a sign full of wonder, announcing the coming of the King of Kings. Joy so well, your Savior has come, through the love of a virgin's womb, Son of God, Son of Man. Of every woman, the sin of every man. Joy so well, your Savior has come, through the love of a virgin's womb, Son of God, Son of Man, born that we may have life. Thank you. so well, your Savior has come. Through the love of a virgin's womb, Son of God, Son of Man, born that we may have life. You were born that we may have life. You were born that we may have life. Next one is Come Now Is the Time to Worship. We got it. We don't have a projector. Not sure what's going on. Son Jesus Christ, not just on the 25th, Lord, but every day. We praise you for giving your life to rescue ours from death. We pray that you'd be glorified in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Just as you are to worship. Just as you are before. Surrender our lives, willing our knees will bow. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose you now. Willing we choose to surrender our lives, willing our knees will bow. With all our heart, soul, we gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. Come. times I fail, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fear. Will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. Yeah. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when
please open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is a psalm written by David. And psalms were songs sung by the Israelites. You just proved to me that you can memorize better when you sing a song than when you just read words, because that song, we didn't have the words up on the screen, but you sung them anyway. And this psalm was quoted by Peter at Pentecost when he was preaching to the Israelites. He said it was a prophecy given by Christ's forefather, if you will, David, who was in a way an ancestor of Christ. But he talks about this, and he says that this was a prophecy in Psalm 16 given by David of Christ's coming, of Christ's life, and what was going to happen to Christ. So think about that. It reflects this psalm reflects the character of David, but it also reflects the life that Christ was going to live, and that he was going to die and go to hell, but not be kept there. So just think about that as we're reading Psalm 16. I'll read the first verse, the odd-numbered verses, and please help me on the even-numbered verses and the last verse, verse 11, if you will, please. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, whom hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And Father God, thank you for those pleasures that only come at your right hand. The same ones your Son Jesus Christ found when he was obedient to you. He found those pleasures, ultimate pleasures, after suffering, after enduring death on a cross. He found pleasure in the forgiveness of sins for us, Lord, giving his life for us so that we might spend eternity with you. Father, we thank you so much for those things, for that sacrifice that he gave. And Lord, we bring our petitions to you this morning because you're the one that answers them. You're the one that gives and takes life. Lord, we pray for our unsaved loved ones that don't know your Son, Jesus Christ, that one day, especially during this Christmas season, that something might touch their heart, change their lives forever, change their eternity forever. Lord, we thank you for a new addition to our church, Thomas Abel Barris, born November 29th. We thank you for bringing us that new life, for growing our congregation. Lord, we pray for those that are going to have babies in the near future, Lord, that you would bring them into a healthy life, just as you did this young man. And Lord, we also ask that you would be with Joanne Moore, that has a heart problem. That's Nicole Everly's grandma. Lord, she has an issue with her heart that needs fixed, Lord. And you're the fixer, Lord. You're the one that can make it better. We also know that you give doctors knowledge and wisdom. So, Lord, we put her into your hands, and we ask that you bring her back to health by whatever means that your will would allow. Lord, also, there are many issues on the hearts of everyone standing in this in your presence here this morning, Lord. I don't know them, but you do. I ask you to just consider each one of their petitions to you, Lord, that you would make them personal to you, that you would take care of them according to your will, Lord, whether it be physical problems, emotional problems, relationship problems, or spiritual problems. Lord, we ask you that your will be done. Lord, also we ask that you just teach us, change our hearts, and speak to us as we listen to your word. Listen about you and of you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
All right. Thank you, Steve. A couple other people we need to pray for. And Sue Parsons is resting well at home after her knee operation, right, Paul? She's doing well. And Mr. Broda just had a hip replacement, so keep him in prayer also. All right. I got to see the new baby when one of the first people that got to see it, other than the nurses and the doctors who were in the operating room of Jackie and Bill, and they said they might bring him today, but I don't see him here this morning, so it was kind of awesome. He was a big, healthy, big boy, so keep them in prayer. All right, well, we're on transformation. Transformation. We're going to take a look. Our text today is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but I want you to first turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I'll begin in just a moment. Romans chapter 8, and that's just going to be a springboard for us, and then we're going to go into 2 Corinthians 3:18. Again, we're going to be talking about transformation. We talked a little bit about it last week, and the Christian is to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, and we are, as the body of Christ, need to look a little more like Jesus Christ, don't we, every day? Amen? I was talking to a guy yesterday from work, from when I, my past life in UPS, and he called me last night and said, you know, during the conversation, he talked to about a motorhome. Anybody do motorhoming or camping? I know Dean does, and I know a couple of you go camping and stuff. And he said he had this big old camper. It has granite countertops. Can you imagine that? It has all the tip outs. It has a big old dish on the top and everything. Man, I'll tell you what. And then he goes camping. You know, and what we do is motorhomes and mobile homes like that, you put all the conveniences of home and you put them in this big old thing, and then you take it over to a park and you park it on a big slab and you connect it up to electric and water and sewage, and you have that big old satellite dish, and you really never have to leave the living room there, right? I mean, you never really have to go outside. But the whole reason you bought it is so that you can go and explore the outside, right? I mean, you park it between a couple of pine trees and you know, and you just sit there and you watch the football game and you watch the TV and all the soap operas and stuff and never get to venture out. You don't get your hands dirty with the dirt. You don't have to venture down to the stream to get a bucket of water to cook with or whatever. You don't have to go in the woods when you have a potty break, you know? You don't have to do that. You don't have to sleep on the floor. I mean, you've got a queen-size beds now. Some even have water beds and things like that. I mean, it's pretty awesome, right? Right? So you never really have to go out. Nothing really changes. And that's what we're going to talk about, change. We may drive to a new place, set ourselves in new surroundings, but the newness goes unnoticed. It goes away. Those pine trees and all that wilderness, it goes completely unnoticed. For we've only carried along our old setting. The adventure of our new life in Christ begins when the comfortable patterns of the old life are left behind. Amen? Thus, the reason why I brought the camper up. You can't enjoy. You bring all that old stuff,
the new life, Christian life. We kind of tend to bring all the baggage from the world into our Christianity, and we think that's okay. There has to be a change. So with that said, what is the goal of the Christian life then? What is it that we are to become? Take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be," what? "Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." We learn what it is, the ultimate goal of the Christian is predetermined by God, and the simple answer is to be conformed to his son and the image of his son, Jesus Christ. To become like Christ is the ultimate goal. But how does that take place? How does that take place? How does one become Christ-like? Take a look at our 2 Corinthians chapter 3, at our text for the day. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for an opportunity to come and to hear your word, Father. May it have its way with us this morning, Lord. We just ask that everything that's said and done here today, it pleases you, Father. That our worship this morning pleases you. Father, we just love you so much, and our intent is to become Christ-like. So, Father, work on us. Work in our hearts. Give us the desire to be Christ-like. Lord, it's in all for you, all for your honor, all for your glory, Father. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, in this verse, it will help us, and in its context, we'll learn how it's possible to have that, reach that ultimate goal as predestined by God or predetermined by God to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, this 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's not an easy verse. It's not an easy one to deal with. But since it reveals important insight into the goal of the Christian life, it is worth taking the effort to carefully consider what it says. For example, we first observe that it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are" what? "Changed" or transformed. We all are being transformed or changed. The word transformed, or that word that they use here in the King James Version is changed, comes from a Greek word called, that means metamorpho, which means to change into another form, to transform or to transfigure. That's what it means. The word that we get, the English word metamorphosis, is derived from that word, which we use as far as the process between a caterpillar and the butterfly. You know, you've all heard that one. You've all seen it. Oh, the baby is here this morning. Welcome to Thomas Abel. All right. That's the way to do it, brother. Start him early. 5 days old. All right, amen. Well, I'm sorry, but I had to do that. Anyway, it's being transformed. It's like having the caterpillar that goes in its cocoon and it comes out as a butterfly, right? A beautiful butterfly, by the way. And some of us stay in that cocoon and we end up just staying caterpillars all our lives, right? We just creep around, don't give that opportunity to become that beautiful butterfly that God has for us. It's used also to describe Jesus and his transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration, if you'll turn to Matthew. Now, get your fingers ready today, Matthew chapter 17, because we're going to move around the scripture just a little bit. And that's a good thing, amen? Matthew chapter 17, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. And it says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And was what? Transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. He was transfigured before them. His face shined as the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. So family, likewise, we are to undergo a transformation. That's what we are to do. We are to transform, to be more like Christ. Not only based on our text in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I love when my messages take us all over the Bible. I love that. Okay, take a look at verse 12. And keep your finger in 2 Corinthians 3, because we're going to keep going back there. But if you take a look at Romans chapter 1 or 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, what? To this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Amen? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? We are to be transformed. And our transformation, it's to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Note in our text back in 3:18 that Paul says, we all, right? It says, but we all. So, that means all of us. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if you're not, hopefully before you leave today, you will be. And you're going to get an opportunity to be. But right now, talking to the church, we all, transformation is for all Christians, not just for a select few. Transformation into the same image, his image. Here we learn the object of our transformation, which is to become like Christ. As we noticed back in Romans, when we read Romans chapter 8, verse 29, this is part of God's predetermined plan for those in Christ. Now, take a look at Luke, what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 40. Luke 6 says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Talking about Jesus Christ. So we are to be Christ-like. We are to be like our master. We are to be like Jesus Christ. And then our passage goes in from glory to glory. This phrase suggests that our transformation is progressive. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens gradually. And as Paul says, we are being transformed. That is present tense. So the transformation is taking place in each one of us right now as we sit here listening to God's word, allowing God's word to soak into us, to fill into us, so that we can be transformed and be a little more like Jesus Christ as we go. It doesn't say we have been transformed. It doesn't mean past tense, that all of a sudden we are transformed and all good and we have all just Christ-like and we'd be all little Christ walking around, right? Then there wouldn't be any need for this, would there? We're all being transformed. Transformation, therefore, involves a growth process. We expect those who have been Christians but a short time to have made only small amounts of progress, but we should also expect those ones that have been Christians for a long period of time to have much progress. You take a look at your status. I've been a Christian since 1979, and I grow each time. Now, am I there? No, absolutely not. Do I have some growth to do? Absolutely. I am so far back that I need a whole lot more. But take a look right where you are and say, okay, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and this is what I'm like. I am Christ-like or I'm not Christ-like. And if you have ever been closer to God ever before in your lifetime than you are right now, then you're moving backwards. Okay? Unless you're moving forward and moving towards Him and getting closer and closer every day, you're moving backwards. And you're not conforming. You're moving backwards. You're backsliding. The Christian life is not to be static, but a dynamic process in which changes are taking place. I had a conversation with a guy yesterday, and we just talked about Jesus Christ. He told me he was saved. He told me when he was saved. And he said, you know what I did? I said, no. He says, I went down to this church, and they had a Bible study, and after the Bible study, the pastor took me in, and he talked to me about Christ and wanted to know if I wanted to. He said he was a different denomination at the time, and he really wasn't allowed to be in that church where he was because the other denomination, you know, said that they're going to go to heaven because of their religion. So he said that, yes, I want to invite Jesus into my heart, and he did. He said he went home. He threw his pack of cigarettes away. He threw his bottle of whiskey away and never turned around and went back. He says, I was a horrible person before I met Jesus Christ. I was horrible. And he said, I said, you mean to tell me the day you did that, you just walked away from all that? He says, yes. He said, the blinders were taken away. It was amazing transformation. Now, that doesn't happen to everybody. It happened to me, but it took me a while to quit smoking. It took me a while to put the beer down and things like that. Of course, I wasn't a real drinker anyway, but it took me a while. Pim, it just went like that. So some of us takes a little longer than others. As long as you're growing, as long as you're conforming, and that's the idea. As long as you're transforming, that's the idea. Where a person is becoming more like their master, Jesus Christ. Compare this with what Solomon, this wisest man who has ever lived, about the just person. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And take a look at verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, 18. Look what Solomon says about the just. It says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It doesn't say that you start to shine and then your light goes out. It says you want to shine more and more and more and more, grow more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Family, when transformation does not take place, something is wrong, and it may be a failure to appreciate and utilize this next point. Transformation comes from beholding. Beholding. Verse 18 in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, but we all of us, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Beholding. Now, with our open face, beholding as in a glass, we must remember the context of Paul's words to appreciate this point. He had alluded to how Moses, out of necessity, put a veil on his face when speaking to his people. Back up to verse 13 in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished." For when Moses had gone to Mount Sinai to receive the commandments of the Lord, being in the presence of God made his face shine. Now, we're not going to go to it, but if you'd like to later on, take a look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 through 35, and it'll talk about that. In like manner, our transformation takes place as we behold. As we behold. Notice, we do it with unveiled faces. The Israelites were unable to behold any of the glory that shone from Moses' face because his face was veiled. But Christians are able to look upon the Lord's glory without impediment of anything. Beholding as in a mirror, beholding or contemplating. We are to contemplate. Our fast-paced lifestyle often discourages the kind of contemplation that is adequate enough for beholding. We are to contemplate. Without beholding, there can be no transformation. Beholding the glory of the Lord. Here is the object of our contemplation: the Lord's glory. It is not just the act of contemplation, but the object of our contemplation that transforms us. What is the glory of the Lord? That we are to behold. It would involve the glory he manifested while on earth. Take a look at John. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." For the glory of the Lord is reflected in every aspect of his birth, his life, his teaching, his miracles, his good deeds, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and current reign as our King and High Priest. Thus, the Scripture, especially the Gospels, are the tools we use to behold his glory. This is where we behold the glory of the Lord. What we know of Jesus came through the ministry of the Spirit. The Spirit's ministry is to glorify Jesus. Take a look at John again. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Take a look at beginning in verse 12. Says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbid, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me mine and shall show it unto you." That's pretty awesome, isn't it? He shows it to us. And then he reminds the apostles and inspires their writings. And you can take a look at John chapter 14, 26 and 1 Corinthians 2. So as we contemplate upon the word, we are able to behold the glory of the Lord by virtue of what the Spirit has done. So, here's how it goes. When we turn to his word, we are turning to his Spirit. When we are turning to the Spirit, we are turning to the Lord. And when we turn to the Lord, we behold Him in all His glory. And when we behold His glory, we are gradually changed or transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Wow. We cannot be transformed by infrequent and casual glimpses of the Lord's glory. If you're not reading every single day and meditating in His Word every single day, you need to. Even if you start out with just 5 minutes. 5 minutes, read one verse and then pray. And then the next day maybe read a couple of verses. But you need, and you want to be transformed, allow the Holy Spirit to use His Word, to use God's Word to transform you, and meditate in His Word on a daily basis. You cannot be transformed with just casual glimpses of the Lord's glory. So family, are you beholding the glory of the Lord? Do you take the time to contemplate upon the glory of the Lord as revealed by the Spirit of God in His holy scriptures? Consider what time you spend in the studying of the Bible as you seek to answer these questions. Now, I'd like everybody to stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. And as Ron prepares and the musicians prepare to come up and play some music for us, I'm going to open the altar up for those of you who have made decisions to, you know, I just want to conform my life to the image of Jesus Christ. I want to do that. Maybe you are moving, but maybe you're not moving fast enough for yourself. Maybe you want to do it. Maybe through this busy, fast-paced season, you have set your Bible down and said, you know what, I'm too busy for that, or I'll get to it later on today. Maybe recommit yourself to a daily reading plan. Why don't you come on down and just say, God, help me do this. Help me with that part of my life. Christian, you are to be transformed. You are to look more like Jesus Christ, the image of Jesus Christ, more and more each day. And those of you today that are here that don't know what we're talking about, I want you to begin your transformation today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you should accept Jesus Christ as Lord over your life and invite Him into your heart. And I want to pray a prayer with you right now. And if you have the desire to conform your life to the image of Jesus Christ, why don't you invite Him into your heart this morning? I want to pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from You. I believe that Your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me Your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Anybody pray that? Just slip up your hand real quick, just so we can pray for you. We're not going to call you out. I see that hand. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Well, I'm going to open up the altar. It's going to be open. If you would like to come down and you who accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, if you'd like to come down and just pray and thank Him for what He's done for you and has entered into your heart, you can do that. Anybody else want to come down and just pray for the busy season that we're in right now? Pray for salvations, that God's kingdom be built. Pray for this ministry at Calvary Baptist Church. If you want to come down and pray, if you want to come down and you've been coming to this church for quite some time now and you want to join this church, you like this body of Christ and you decided that this is the place you want to be and set your stake, why don't you come down too? So, altar's open. Don't delay.
So
stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never-ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. Will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond. And my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside.
Dear gracious God, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we just ask that you give us the desire to change from the inside out, Father. That you give us the desire to conform to the image of Jesus Christ as your will. God, have your way with us today, Father. Have your way with us. Give us the desire to contemplate your word. Give us the desire to come into your throne room and praise you and pray to you. God, we just love you so much. And we just ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the ways that we can be transformed is the way that we give to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Joe says, if you're in his word every day, you'll find that God says, he doesn't ask, he actually says, for all that I provide for you, for all that I provide for you, give me back what is rightfully mine. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come before you and we truly thank you for all that you provide in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your word that we can go in there and just have a relationship with you to learn not what we want, but what you want for us. Continue to teach us. Your love is just so awesome. And just let us be consumed with your word on how to live on a daily basis. And it is all for your honor, and it's all for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Two guys come this morning. One guy wants to join the church. It's Rich.
It's awesome.
And then Jason King is coming for salvation this morning. Hey, man, welcome to the family, man. We're going to ask that both these guys are going to stand up front here, and their family can join them if they want. And just come around and give them a handshake and a big hug and just welcome them into the Calvary family. Let's all stand together and sing another verse in the chorus of From the Inside Out.
Above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise